the last time that we spoke, you were hanging up your hat as far as the Cyprus String Quartet goes, but now you've got this new recording.
That's right.
Of Johannes Brahms.
That's right.
And can you just tell us how that came about? Was it planned that way, that this would be your last recording?
It was more or less planned that way, yes. So when the quartet, and we had a lot of, you know, thoughtful, careful meetings talking about how we wanted to wrap up our time together, and we had lists of, like, passion projects, things that we were excited to do, and the lists were pages and pages long, as you can imagine. And then our plan was, okay, how many of these can we fit in this year? Because our final season together, we had 150 concerts, I think, and then we made a number of recordings. We finished up that Beethoven recording project where we recorded all the quartets. And in the past few years, we had been performing the Brahms sextets both individually on concerts, but also as a set on a concert with Barry Schiffman and Zul Bailey, our phenomenal colleagues. And so that was one of the passion projects that we were like, this makes sense. I mean, in our own little obsessive fashion where we're like, okay, all Beethoven all the time. It's like, okay, there are only two of the Brahms sextets. We've really shaped these as a group. We believe in what we're doing. Let's record them. So, and then because of who we are, we never just go in and record them. We have to do it. You know, something has to be different about it. And so we had a couple of different things going on for this performance. So,
Well, it's a live performance.
That's right.
Right? This was from you had an audience come in there. Was this in the same space where you've done your other recordings?
That's right. It totally was. It was at Skywalker Sound on the scoring stage there, the amazing place to play. So first we had to kind of figure out the sound of adding two more instruments into that, because we had done the cello quintet in there of the Schubert with Gary Hoffman a couple of years ago, but we hadn't done a sextet ever. So, you know, the sound, we had to find the right sound for the group in there. And then we invited, there were 40 or 50 guests 2 days in a row.
What did you have to do to get a ticket to that concert?
Well,
I imagine it was competitive.
Yes, you had to know somebody. No, it was the people that we invited were fans and friends and supporters, long-term supporters. There were some people who had, you know, been with us the entire 20-year journey, who came from far away to be there for this. And let me tell you about the day, because it was, if you, you know, so you can kind of imagine what it was like for those invited guests. They came to Skywalker Ranch and came to this Skywalker Sound stage. They met with the engineers who explained, you know, sort of history of recording and then what we were going to be doing, and then gave them some tips about, you know, don't wiggle, don't cough, don't sneeze, or react in some other audible way, because you're in the room right next to the mics with the musicians. And then they were brought into the studio where we were warming up. We performed one of the sextets in its entirety. We took a break and we all ate lunch together, and then came back in and recorded the second of the sextets. And then there was a Q&A session with us and with the audience and with the engineers. So if anybody had any questions about what happened or what they saw or thoughts about it, they could share. So it was a really, I think, a very special day for the people that were there. You know, it's like a moment in history that you're involved in. And I thought of this as a very intimate project. So, you know, we were friends, playing with friends, for friends. And it was just happened to be recorded. And then, of course, we threw in one extra little thing that I don't think is necessarily talked about in any of the materials you've seen, which is we were capturing this both in digital and in analog. There was a reel-to-reel team there called the Tape Project, and they were capturing it. We could hear it both ways. The analog version will be released sometime this year. And, you know, those audiophiles who own those incredible stereos to play that on, that's going to be quite an experience.
So that'll be on vinyl.
Vinyl or tape, yeah.
That certainly gels with what I think of when I think of the sound of Cyprus. Mm-hmm. It's very... It has a real kind of cinematic feel to it. Mm. You know what I'm talking about, as opposed to videotape?
Right. Well, we record, the mics are in pretty tight compared to what, you know, some groups are in a hall and they're really you know, using the hall as their other instrument, we're very much capturing the sound that's right there. So it's very, again, that's an intimate feel of like, it's almost like you're next to us as we're performing.
And the music is very intimate as well. These two different sextets, it's remarkable that Brahms wrote them at all, although they came when he was fairly young. I mean, look at the way that he struggled with the string quartet. For instance, yet these string sextets seem to have, you know, like rolled off of his fingers.
Well, it seems that. I'm not sure that's exactly true, but it seems that way. I mean, I think they're probably, well, and from what I've heard, the very first one, you know, it was his first piece of string chamber music, which astounds me because it's so phenomenally well written. But he sent it with, you know, trepidation to his friend Joachim, who played it through and gave him a lot of comments, and Brahms, to his credit, included some of those changes. I mean, Joachim, like, suggested to him, for example, that the opening melody should be in the first cello, not the first violin, and Brahms took that to heart, and, you know.
I'm sure you would agree as well.
I totally agree. Well, I have a feeling that Joachim was like, well, when the violin comes in, that'll be even more dramatic. But I think it does. So the cello has the melody, and then the first violin has it. So, you know, that's just interesting to know that he did that. And Joachim was impressed enough with the work that, you know, he arranged a premiere of it. And you think about that. Those are the people that change the lives of composers, right?
Yeah.
So the fact that he was encouraging this young composer, Clara Schumann was in the audience for that premiere, and she, you know, said something like, it was more beautiful than I even had anticipated, and my expectations were already high.
Yeah.
And then Brahms then, you know, to thank her, arranged the slow variation movement as a solo piano piece for her, as well as a piano duet. And those still are out there, you know, people
perform. Is that the second movement or which movement?
Second movement, yeah, the variations.
Was Brahms, was he one of the first to write string sextets? I mean, were there other sextets at the time?
Well, so this is what's so interesting. So I think part of the reason that Brahms turned to the sextet form was that he was too nervous to write a string quartet. And it took him, it was like another 15 years after this first sextet before he's going to actually publish a string quartet, right? So because he had the ghosts of the other great composers before him who had written great quartets, I think. So it's always amazing to think of these incredible composers having that kind of complex, but there you go. But if you look back to string sextets, we're looking all the way back to like Boccherini before, you know, Brahms. Okay. So he possibly knew those pieces, or maybe he just liked the fact that he had more expressive possibilities with, you know, six voices. But if you think after Brahms, Brahms then opened the door to Dvorak, Tchaikovsky, Schoenberg, Korngold, Schulhoff, you know, you name it. There's a Strauss. Yeah. I mean, all these composers wrote sextets after that. And that's very, you know, special music.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Now, was this your first Brahms recording with the quartet?
It was our first Brahms recording. We've been playing Brahms throughout our time together, but Ted never, you know, committed it to forever land there. And it just, this felt right, given that we had been performing them so much.
Well, let me ask you, though. I mean, now that you've completed that 20-year run and you can kind of look at it from a distance, is there any music that you performed during that time that you wish you had put down on record with the group?
Oh, about 40 pieces, yeah. Actually, one of the, you know, there were so many composers who we commissioned that we really wanted to record their work because we had worked with them on that music, and it would be so nice to have that reference recording, you know, for future generations. And we have them in live performance settings that someday if somebody comes and looks at the library of, you know, Cypress Collection, they could probably hear them there. But they're just, you know, there wasn't enough time or money to do all of that. So, and maybe that's okay. Things are often left, you know, unfinished, or, you know, there are always possibilities.
Yeah. Well, always leave them wanting more.
There you go. Yeah.
Let's talk about that second sextet now, because this comes a few years later, and it's very different from the first one.
I don't think I ever realized how different until we started performing the two together, but now I see them as completely, you know, different. It's like having two children in a family. They're kind of opposites, right? Or they can be, and this way they are. It's written about 4 years later. So if the first sextet was written in a kind of contented period of Brahms' life, you know, he had a good job, that he didn't have to work too hard, he was afforded time to walk in the woods, he was living in a castle, life was good. When you come to the second sextet, the Opus 36, it's much more about loss, love and loss, and yearning. And that's partly based on the fact that Brahms had fallen in love and became engaged to a wonderful singer, Agatha von Siebold, and the engagement was broken off. And they never saw each other again, and neither of them married, actually. And it seems like Brahms is working out the end of that relationship in the first movement of this piece. He takes a cipher of her name, which is sort of a magical thing that a lot of composers have done throughout time. So he takes the letters A-G-A-H-E, and H being B natural in German spelling. And that figure comes back in the piece, in that movement. And then he juxtaposes that with a little other theme, A-D-E, Ade, which means farewell. So it's like he's saying farewell to Agatha. And which also then fits with the theme of this is our farewell recording.
It's interesting the way the composers write their own biographies in music.
I know.
Of course, you have the burden of bringing that to the public and interpreting that as well.
Well, I think the music is great whether you know the stories or not. But for me, the stories give me a different viewpoint on the music. And then the composers become more human to me. And then my experience of performing it becomes more visceral.
Tell us about your collaborators.
Yes.
Who came in for this recording.
The ever fantastic Barry Schiffman and Zul Bailey. So Barry and Zul have been friends and colleagues for years and years. Actually, from even before the quartet existed, we knew in various, you know, walks of life, we knew these two artists. And we began to work together a couple of years ago, and it just gelled perfectly. Actually, Barry and Zul have a friendship as well. They were in school together at some point. It just felt right. You know, you never know when you open up a group to have others come in, whether the chemistry is going to feel good or whether it's going to do magical things to the music or not. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. And in this case, it was amazing to work with them. They are both, you know, really tremendous musicians, and so it was an honor to work with them. It's also hard to decide, as the cellist of the group, I always say, wait a minute, who's going to come in to sit, you know, as my other cellist, because they actually are the second part, so it becomes the bass of the group, and I'm used to being the bass of the group, so, you know, it has to be the right choice for that, and it was an honor.
You were okay with this one?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes, and our collection of instruments together, I was telling somebody recently that it was like over 1,600 years of history combined in the instruments that we have.
Wow.
And if you look at the CD booklet, on the back of the booklet is a picture of the instruments. From bottom to top, if you go left to right.
Oh, Now, see, if you all had a van, you travel together, you could have those little stickers on the back, like how they have the dad and the mom and the kids with the...
And all the instruments.
You would just have string silhouettes, you know,
there we go.
Stuck on the back of your car. That's a great photo. I'm looking at it right
now. Thank you. That was at the very end of this recording project. So if we look a little tired, you'll understand.
How is everybody doing? I mean, are you still in touch with the other members now?
I talked with each of them this week, actually. So two of them have moved to countries foreign. Ethan is living in Canada with his family. His wife is from near Toronto, and they moved there to be near her family. And Cecily has just settled into a new life in London, where her husband, the great recording engineer who did all of our work with us, got a job in a studio in London. So they're there. So yeah, we're kind of spread far and wide, but I think right now what you're seeing is everyone's laying groundwork for what comes next. So
the next chapter.
Yeah, I've got about 20 projects I'm working on. So yeah, we'll see. Stay tuned.
Jennifer Kletzel is the cellist of the Cypress String Quartet, and their final album has been released on Azika Records, the two string sextets of Johannes Brahms. And you can still explore the Cypress Quartet's 20-year legacy. There are many wonderful recordings, lots of videos as well. Mm-hmm. And that's at your website, cypresquartet.com. And we can follow you online too, Jennifer, right?
That's right, yes. jkcello.com is my website. And or you can find me on Facebook.
Great. Jennifer Kletzel, thanks so much for joining us here on FM 91.
Thanks, Brad. Great to talk to you.